When I released my book on how to live to at least 180 called Superhuman, I interviewed a few experts for a special project, and one of them was Layla Ali Conway. She's not only the daughter of a world-famous athlete, she herself is a world-class athlete, a fitness and wellness expert, a home chef, and a cooking enthusiast, and she's founder of the Layla Ali lifestyle brand, and she's a mother of two. Following in her father, Muhammad Ali's footsteps, Layla is a former professional boxer, two-time Hall of Famer, and four-time undefeated boxing world champion, so she literally knows how to kick ass. You're going to learn about how to make changes in your life so you can become a world champion yourself and increase your longevity. And more importantly, you'll learn how Layla's mindset changes things. If you want to be a champion at whatever it is you want to do in your life, she's going to teach you how to do it. I really enjoyed this interview. If you want to know what it takes to really be a superhuman, she can lead the way. Enjoy the show. I've interviewed leaders in medicine, science, lifestyle, brain health, psychedelics, microbiome, and supplements all around living a lot longer than Mother Nature wants you to. They're all sharing important information about how you can perform, your potential, and how long you can live. The wisdom from these interviews and the expertise in them is going to help you become your own kind of superhuman and live a very long, kick-ass life. Today, I'm interviewing an actual superhuman. Layla Ali Conway, who has just this incredible background in business, promoting sports, world-class athlete, and an incredible life that includes being world-class herself, being the daughter of a world-class athlete, and then moving into just dealing with her own biology. So the point of this today is that you don't oftentimes get to talk to someone who has achieved on multiple levels like that about their path to being a better human. And if her name is not familiar to you, Layla Ali has been a former professional boxer. She co-hosts Everyday Health on ABC and actually has, you know, her own brand. And like if you watch TV, you probably know who she is. But you might not know that she's dealt with a thyroid condition. And you also know, if from reading the book or from listening to my show, I also have had Hashimoto's thyroiditis since I was in my mid-20s. And I got rid of my antibodies, but I still take thyroid meds on behalf of it. So here's what I want to do is ask you a few questions about what it took for you to become a superhuman athlete, first and foremost, what did you have to do to yourself, either biologically or emotionally, spiritually, in order to get yourself to that level?
Thanks, Dave. That's not an easy answer, but I will say that when I first saw women's boxing on television, I was about 17 years old. And a lot of people would assume that I was just that girl that was like, oh, I want to be like my dad, and hung out with him in the gym. And he's the one that got me into it. It's actually not the case at all. I wasn't even an athlete. I never participated in sports in high school. I didn't realize I had it in me until I saw women's boxing with my own eyes and was inspired by the women that I saw. And I was like, how did I not know that I could box, being Muhammad Ali's daughter? So it took me about a year of contemplation to finally get the nerve to go do it, because I had, of course, you know, the fear of what would everyone think? Will I be good at it? You know, I had never experienced, you know, being an athlete before, and it, you know, the seed had been planted. So a year later, I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm just going to try. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see how it feels, because I didn't want to embarrass myself. I didn't want to embarrass my father. I understood the magnitude of coming behind his footsteps and the pressure that would be there. And I knew that if I didn't believe in myself and you know, really feel confident that I could do it, that I wasn't going to be able to do it, because, you know, there's going to be so many naysayers. So that was something that I had already learned in my life, of just my own conviction, belief, and confidence needed to be there in order to withstand all of the pressure and all of the naysayers that I would be facing, including my father. So I spent about a year of training in secrecy. And that's when I realized that I had it in me to be an athlete, because first of all, I fell in love with boxing. I saw my body change. I was on a quest to figure out what is it going to take to not only be a boxer, but be one of the best, to be undefeated was my dream. And, you know, I of course, it took years, you know, of learning and growing. But from the beginning, I got the best trainers I could find. I learned about how I needed to eat. I learned about how I needed to rest. Like, what would it take to be elite and be better than everyone else? And I was willing to do it all. And obviously, I say this all the time. You know, I had a different meal plan. I had a different exercise regimen. I had different thought process back then when I was, you know, in my 20s than I do now. But there was a total transformation in my body, in my mind, in everything within me, you know, to become an actual athlete. And then we can kind of break that down. But, you know, back then it was just the basics. You know, as an athlete, you're like, okay, you need your carbs and you need your protein. And how many protein shakes do I need to drink? You know, and how many hours do I need to spend in the gym? How many miles do I need to run? How much rest do I need to get? Those are really basic things. And then, of course, it's kind of evolved from there into motherhood and not being an athlete anymore, but wanting to maintain my health, my fitness level and all of that.
A lot of pro athletes I've spoken with towards, you know, the second half or towards the end of their careers, that they're sort of saying, man, I've taken a lot of hits, so, you know, whether actual hits in boxing or, you know, football or really, you know, marathons, whatever it is. And they're sort of looking back going, I think it took something out of me. Like I was burning more of what I had when I was young than I knew I was burning. Do you think you pushed yourself too far when you were young and that was a part of your thyroid condition? Or do you think that you actually like balanced it?
So thyroid I got when I was 15 years old.
Okay.
I started, yeah, my mother and my grandmother both have, my grandma had Graves, my mother had Hashimoto's, I have Graves. So I started really showing the signs of acting like a lunatic a lot of the times when I was young. And my mom was like, what is going on with her and her emotions? And just, you know, just my adrenaline and just, you know, sweating all the time, weight loss, you know, at the time. And she took me to her thyroid specialist and I had Graves' disease. So then I had radiation treatment, which is what my mom chose for me at the time. I was a kid, where they killed part of the thyroid. And then now I'm on medication for the rest of my life. But then, of course, then it reversed it, you know, to being underactive thyroid. So I got to take this medication. And then I gained some weight and that had been the challenge. You know, I gained weight. So everything kind of reversed and just finding that balance. And as I've gotten older, you know, I've had to change my medication level. You know, I've had some adrenal issues and what happens is now I burn myself out more than I ever did. I think, well, let's just say, I don't really know because you can withstand more, you know, as the years go on, you know, your body starts getting to the point where it's like, okay, you've been doing this for many years now, starting to catch up with you. But I would say as an athlete, you definitely overwork yourself. I think, you know, any elite athlete will, just with everything that goes on inside of your body, the free radicals and all that stuff. And, you know, it's you're pushing yourself to the limit, which isn't really natural, but it's what we need to do. So for me, I know I overtrained, you know, I would train smarter now. As a boxer, you literally train hard. I'm talking about 6 days a week and you take that one Sunday off and that's real old school. But now I'm like, you know, it would have been nice to get a little bit more rest, you know, for my body to recover than to be running and training and weight training and having men, I only sparred with men, hitting my body and then going and doing it the next day. Whereas you can maintain all because you think, you know, your fitness level needs to be high. But I remember I had a realization. I was going through a divorce towards the end of my career, my first husband, and I was drained emotionally and I was dealing with a lot. And I remember being in training camp and missing a lot of training because I had been up all night crying or whatever the case may be. And I was like, I just can't go to the gym today. And I remember missing a lot of running, missing a lot of training and still being in shape. Like still going and fighting, still being in shape. And that told me, I was like, you know what? You actually don't need to run that much. And I remember even then I trying to change my training. I started taking 2 days off, you know, and it was just kind of like, you know, I still had to deal with the emotion and being drained in other ways. So I didn't really see the benefit of it that time. But that's when I learned, like, I really don't need to push myself quite so hard. You know, I need to spend more time on recovery. So thyroid has been there before boxing. And I definitely think that as athletes, we need to spend more time letting our bodies heal and recover because it's not normal to be obviously hitting the body, hitting the head. And on top of that, do all the training that we do, plus all the stress of preparing for a fight.
There's definitely data that shows that people who push themselves really, really hard, whether it's emotionally, you know, because of you know, a breakup or because of an emotional trauma or because of a car accident or a virus or because of overtraining or because, you know, they're just type A and like, I'm going to be the best at whatever I do, they're the ones most likely to get an autoimmune condition. So
yeah, well, that makes, hey, I'm definitely that person. So yeah, that is the story of my life. Okay. Of trying to find balance, because I'm very ambitious, I'm very dedicated, and I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I'm a little OCD. So it's like the my husband now, like, he always is saying to me, you need to just, can you just sit down? Can you just, like, literally from the time I get home, you know, my kids, at the time I go to sleep, I'm like on my feet doing something. I'm like, well, something always needs to be done, you know? So it's just like, for me, I always have to remind myself that you do need to take some time, you know, because I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to keep going like this when I'm 60. Like, when are you gonna stop? You gotta learn to find balance, for sure. And that's an athlete or just anyone, anybody, you know?
Why aren't you going to be able to keep going like this when you're 60?
Because it's not healthy. It's not healthy to keep going to the point of being stressed out and feeling like there's always something to do and feeling like you can't sit down and relax. That's just not good to do at any age.
I don't mean,
you know, oh, my life is going to change when I'm 60 because you just get old and can't do anything. That's the whole point of why we're trying to be our healthiest and trying to nurture our body. No, I get it. Okay. I'm just talking about, I'm not going to be able to keep, you know, the running stress around the house and doing everything for everybody. Yeah.
which is harder, becoming a mother or becoming a world-class athlete?
A mother, for sure. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that. It is more work to be a parent than I think anyone who's not a parent can possibly put words to. And it takes more energy and more dedication. And you actually get a rest day when you're when you're training in the gym. You don't get a rest day when you're a mom.
Absolutely not. You, I mean, any mom knows, and there's different levels to parenting, of course, on how hands-on you are with your kids and how emotionally attached you are to your kids, you know. And it's like, with me, being that I grew up with a lot of nannies and my parents being absent, I kind of overcompensate in that area with my kids. But it's like, you know, we all have an idea of what you're going to get, and, you know, you get what you get, and you have to work with it in terms of your child. Like, my son is nothing like me in terms of wanting, he doesn't want to be a fighter, which is great. I don't have to worry about that. He has a totally different temperament. I wish he would be, you know, I would say, oh, I wish he could just be a little tougher, you know, in terms of, but he's so gentle and kind, you know, which is good, but I'm saying, to the point where I worry about people taking advantage of him. So it's like, I'm like, whoa, God sure knows how to work on you. You know, this is my lesson for me. Like, you know, so that was just an example of, but just letting them kind of nurture them, but let them be who they are. And that's what I had, my parents had to do, you know, because trust me, my dad didn't want me to be a fighter, but look what he got. So.
Well, at least you held off for a while. So he felt good about that. You know, same thing. My kids are pretty kind, and I dealt with a lot of bullying when I was a kid. And I was like, look, the teacher's not doing her job. So I'm telling my daughter, like, hey, look, this one uppercut it.
Sometimes
you just gotta, you know, you should run away if you can, you know. But if you're backed into a corner and someone's hitting you, this is what you do.
Look, you don't want to get into that conversation with me. My thing is that, you know, I'm like, I don't ever want my kids to hit anybody or start anything. But I tell them, if somebody messes with you, you hit them as hard as you can, because people pick on people they know they can get away with it with. And it's the same thing as an adult. You know, people bully and pick on certain people. Nobody picks on me. I don't have that problem.
you're not a target.
Just saying, it's extreme. My name is extreme, because you know I can kick somebody's butt. But I'm saying, in general, I never had that problem growing up, because I have a confidence about me. I carry myself a certain way.
Yeah.
And people who want to bully people try to pick the weakest. So it's like, if you need to be strong that first time and show them, and then they're going to move on. So it's sad that we have to teach people this, but unfortunately we do.
Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, how to not be a victim, but it's a conversation I didn't want to have, but as well as you don't throw a first punch, you avoid it if you at all can, but if you're, you know, if there's no choice, you do it. So there's a certain toughness. And I think you've carried that toughness through into your own health quest as well. Because, I mean, if you can be tough and stand up to To someone else, in the ring, or just someone who's being a bully in life, even at work or whatever. I don't mean physically stand up, but emotionally stand up. How do you take that energy and turn it around for yourself? So when you're saying, "All right, I'm not going to eat the pie," or whatever would be a challenging thing for you, does that discipline, that toughness, is it a tool for you in your own? I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to live a long time.
Definitely, I'm not a fanatic, I will say, but I definitely. It, for me, it's like 80% of the time. Okay. When I'm on, I'm on. And when I'm off, I'm off. So I'm like, I know how bad a donut is for you. In fact, I just found out that I'm allergic to wheat. I don't feel it, but I know from food testing.
Yeah.
And I know when I have too much, that's when I would start having stomach aches. But every once in a while, I'll still have a donut. You know why? Because I feel like when I say every once in a while, I'm talking about every few months. Okay. Because if I love a glazed donut, you know what I mean? And I know it's not going to kill me, right? It's going to make me feel, it's like I have to balance that out. So when I say that 20% is not on a daily basis, but for the most part, I know what I need to do. I kind of have a plan. I know what works for my body. I know what makes me feel good. I know what types of foods I need to provide for my family. But hey, if we want to go out on the weekend and get pizza, then I'll let my kids get pizza because I don't want them to feel deprived and feel like that food has that much power. You know what I mean? In terms of just feeling like they have to go to school and watch their friends. It's already hard because their friends have all this junk and all these snacks. And I'm teaching them and showing them like a lot of these people don't know any better. I mean, what can I tell them? You know what I mean? It's like, they just don't.
I feel you.
I have to just tell them. I'm like, look, they just don't know any better. So, but I let them have certain things sometimes, but yeah, I think that I'm totally like, I've done different meal plans. I've done different ways of eating, trying to discover out, is it keto? Is it this or is it that? For my body. And when I'm on a plan, I'm on. So I do have that toughness to be able to do it because I have a coach in my head, basically. So it's like, if my thing is, if I'm not gonna do it now, when am I ever gonna do it? And I don't like that feeling, So if it's like, if I cannot commit right now to my health and my wellness, if I say, I've been I've been shooting this show for 11 weeks. I haven't been able to work out. I haven't really been able to eat as clean as I like to eat. And I see the effect that it has on me. It's like, okay, you need to do something about it. What can you do? I like to be in control of my health and control of my life. So that is what gives me peace of mind, is knowing that I can make a decision right now, I think that because I know what it feels like to be at my best when I was an athlete and I was super lean and, I'm always kind of, that's like my vision in my head of what I would love to be. But I understand that that really doesn't really work for me now. And it would take too much dedication to be that lean, because I was lean that way because I was working out three times a day. It wasn't natural for me to be that way.
And it would come, it would take it away from your kids. I mean, if you were in the gym three times a day, right?
I don't have time. Yeah. And if I wanted to look a certain, and it's not that important for me to look a certain way. But if I wanted to look that way without being fit, then that means I would have to do some dramatic meal plan. That's just not, and I'm 20 years older. I mean, come on, you're different. We're all different back, now. So it's really about just being, for me to answer your question, the mental side of it for me is really just being realistic, being as healthy as I can be and doing the best that I absolutely can and not getting down on myself. Because what I notice is when I do have my moments of weakness, it's when there's a lot going on stress-wise, and that will cause you sometimes to break away from the things that are already hard. Like, it's already hard for me sometimes. I naturally have a sweet tooth. I like sweets, Mm-hmm. So those are things like I can give you, I can walk by the chips. I can walk by the fries, I can walk by anything else. But sometimes, like, if someone was to come to me with a glazed donut in a moment of stress, I might be like, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'll have a bite. You know what I mean? It's just, it's because my defenses are down, but for the most part, no, I'm really mentally strong. But like when I said fanatic, I just meant there's some people that would be like, I would never eat a donut. That's horrible. It's fried. It's got, wheat and white sugar and da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But like for me, I can eat a donut and still move on and get back on track,
As someone who grew up a block from a Winchell's donut shop that my mom would take me to, I understand the glazed donut thing there. And as a parent, you know, I'm teaching my kids, look, you have a chance to live for hundreds of years, but you got to take care of yourself. And and they know I don't eat wheat. They've never seen me eat wheat, and they don't do it. And I've said, hey, why don't you go eat some wheat? And they're like, we don't want to. And so we were in Europe where they don't put glyphosate on the wheat. So I'm like, hey, kids, I'm going to eat this croissant. So I picked their croissant. They call it doissant. It's like a fried thing. And I know it's bad oil. And everyone listening to this is going, Dave, what the hell? Like, this is the first time in 10 years I've had it. And I did it on purpose to show my kids. And I gave it to them too. And the next morning, my son's like, my stomach hurts. I'm like, yeah, but didn't it taste good? And he's like, it's not worth it. I'm like, all right.
Exactly.
Mission accomplished. So, and I like it that, you know, you're letting your kids, you know, live their lives and not creating fanatics. Talk to me about where you think you're going to be in 40 years from today. What's life going
to
be like?
You know, the goal is to just keep smooth sailing in terms of just what I'm doing now. I feel great. I feel my health is excellent. You know, I listen to my body, which I think is important. I'm very open-minded in terms of making adjustments and trying new things. But I truly believe, and I'm one of those people like that, you know, if I'm wrong, then I want to be wrong because I made the choice.
Okay.
So for me, you know, listening to my body and always being able to trust myself is very powerful for me. Things have to make sense for me. I don't just do it just to do it, you know, but I'm open to trying things and see how they feel. So I think that in 40 years that, you know, I'll still be healthy. To be honest with you, I'm not one of those people who wants to live forever.
Yep.
I have faith in the fact that I'm going to do the best I can with my health. And when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And whether that be in at 80 or 100 or 115, what I don't want and what my fear would be to feel like I'm not living the quality of life that I should or that I get sick because of some choice that I made for myself. So I'm talking about people that I see that are obese, okay? Mm. And they are, you know, not respecting their body and their life. That's how I look at it. And they are, you know, eating on a regular basis and drinking or doing whatever things that they know are bad for them. You know, and then they end up with all types of diseases, ailments, can't get around, not happy, foggy brain, you know, just living, you know, but not living fully the life with it, the vitality that we're meant to be here to live. That is a fear that I would never want to have, to feel like, man, like I did this to myself, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but in terms of, you know, making the best choices with the information that I have and doing the best that I can, it just makes me feel good, and may the chips fall where they may, you know? So
do you ever do things in particular? I mean, anyone who's been a boxer is at higher risk of Alzheimer's, you know, we understand.
Exactly.
Do you do special stuff for your brain to, you know, undo any damage that might've come from one of those hits?
I definitely feel like I know I don't have a good memory.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us, and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
And sometimes it's lack of sleep and just being a busy mom, but I think it definitely came from boxing. So I know there's going to be effects there that you have to deal with. And you can say, well, that's a contradiction. You just said you don't want to be somebody who something happened to because you, for a choice you made. I also had a passion in my heart to go do what I enjoy doing, you know? So that's the balance there. So I'm not gonna, at the time when I was a kid, I wasn't worried about, you know, the I mean, look at my father, you know, so if I was going to be scared, that would have done it. You know what I mean? And you could ask any boxer that question who looks up to Muhammad Ali. Well, look at Muhammad Ali. Well, we don't know for sure that Parkinson's came from boxing, but we do. I know he would have had effects from boxing, even if he didn't have Parkinson's.
I don't think Parkinson's does come from boxing, to be perfectly honest.
Right. And my father, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And my father even thought he got Parkinson's from pesticides poisoning and he used to always say that. But even without Parkinson's, I know he would have had some effects from boxing, just slurred speech. And I saw that even before the Parkinson's came on. So I'm just saying that, you know, I had to go after what I wanted to go after, but it's all about balance, you know. But now when I'm not fighting, I'm not in the ring competing, doing what I loved back then. Now it's about, okay, what works for me now is Layla, the mom and the woman, you know, going forward. So, I forgot what your original question was, but
I think you hit it. I'm really trying to capture how you think about undoing the damage that you might have done when you were young. Because I think everyone, as we age, God, I mean, I hit 300 pounds and I had all kinds of anxiety and all sorts of stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. And you're an unusual case because you're a world class athlete in a high risk sport. And so looking at what are the choices that you're making now, because, you know, you can afford to do whatever you want to your brain.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, you know, are you getting extra rest? Are you taking supplements? You know, do you scan your brain
or
stuff like that? And the reason is it's illustrative for everyone who hears this, who's interested in living a long time. Like what's your approach towards managing your youth now that you're,
I want to, yeah. And like I said, I don't want to obviously get, sick in the brain or Alzheimer's or anything like that. So what I did is I looked into the ketogenic diet for that purpose. Yep. And I started it and I stopped, but I want to start it again. I'm actually on my to-do list to get started and get back on top of it. I do the regular things that you would do anyway. It's not really about your brain when it comes to, you know, eating healthy and having healthy oils and MCT and all that. I feel like I've done the hyperbaric chamber.
Oh, good. So you've addressed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I've done the hyperbaric chamber because I realize that I am still young, you know, and there's still further changes that can happen that came from boxing. And now, like I said, when I was a kid, I wasn't worried about that. But now I have my own children. So, you know, when you look at me now, would I go fight now? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't start my boxing career, not only because I'm older, but I'm talking about because there's, you know, my children's lives at stake and I want to be here for them. You know, I was at a different time and space in my life, you know, what was going on in my head back then. But I do understand the importance of preserving your brain. Would I ever want my kids to become boxers? No. You know, you ask me that now, I'm like, no, I wouldn't. Do I want my husband was an NFL football player. Do I want my kids to play football? No, absolutely not. Because I'm like, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You're just going to get hit upside the head and get hit, you know, for a living. Like, but I did it myself, you know. But like, I wouldn't want it for my children. Not only are they, that's just not really who they are. But I just wouldn't want it for them anyway, you know, because it's just crazy now when I think about it.
Well, the good news is that you've done some of the big things that you can do to undo that. And part of the thing that really came clear to me in Superhuman is, like, we are understanding where these chronic things like Alzheimer's and like Parkinson's, where they really are originating and the processes. And I really, really believe that we're on the cusp, and already some of the things we can reverse. Some things you're doing already are reversing Alzheimer's, at least lowering your risk, and some of them actually cure Alzheimer's in studies specifically around MCTs. And so you have a shot at doing that, and your kids too. So we're living in a world where our kids will probably be able to take more risks and recover from them in a way that seems like science fiction to us today. But I still don't want my kids to take those risks in case... In case, you know, they're bigger. So I'm impressed that you're, you know, going out there and you've already done the stuff to undo your youth, at least some of it.
It's not easy. That hyperbaric chamber, totally, because I get claustrophobic. That in itself was mentally tough for me to go get in there and do that. And I need to do more rounds of it. And, you know,
takes 40.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm like, what, six in? And I'm like, I'm telling you. So it's like, oh my God, the agony that I go through, just, you know, but it also strengthens my mindset to be able to coach myself through that and freaking out the whole time. But because the idea of being, you know, I actually was okay when I got in there. And then when I heard, I was like, okay, you got your walkie talkie so I can reach you. Okay. You're not going to leave me in here. Okay. Get past that. Then I was like, okay, I'm good. It's not that bad. And then as soon as I heard that thing start getting zipped up and clack, 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 like I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't get out. That's when my mind started because it's all mental. My mind started going, and then I was like, then you can't even just open it right away. You got to let the pressure out. So I'm like, how long is it going to take me to get out of this thing? So, yeah, but, you know, you have to know why you're doing it. And for me, the reason for doing it, obviously, is for my brain health. And that's what kind of made me think, you know, I don't want to give up right now and quit. So just stay in and keep going. And then I'll be able to reap the benefits of it. So, yeah. But the mindset is super, super strong. It has to be.
I love your vulnerability there. Like, hey, it's scary to go in there. And so thank you for sharing that with me.
You're welcome. I think that we're all worth taking the time to explore and be the best version of ourselves. And the possibilities are limitless, you know? And I think that we're living in a time where we get a lot of information and it can be overwhelming, you know, but as long as you're staying on the journey of moving forward and your intention is to keep getting better, then that's great. You know, because I just can't imagine. I mean, there are people that are just waking up every day, not even thinking about their health, not even thinking about what they can do, you know, to be better. It's just about, you know, how am I going to spend my day, get these bills paid, you know, and that's not really what life is all about, you know, and then you just don't want to wake up and it's too late. And you're like, man, if I would have just done these small things or taken these supplements, or it would have made a difference in your life. So we're basically doing the same thing in terms of encouraging people. I really like to try to reach an audience that isn't there. Like I'm talking about those people that are like, oh no, I'm healthy. I only drink clear soda. I don't drink. And I'm like, okay, we have a lot of work to do and a lot to learn, but there are those people out there. And I like to I want to be able to reach those people. Because, you know, when you're giving them baby steps, it's much easier. I'm like, well, can you just drink more water? Can you have one salad a day? Can we talk about what you can add to your life opposed to what you need to take away? You know?
Yeah.
And then they start seeing that you feel better. You know, can you have one protein shake a day filled with, you know, your healthy oils and put all the stuff in there so you don't have to think about each little thing? And it's like you start feeling better and they want to do more, and it kind of crowds out the junk. So that's kind of what I do. That's what I meant when I said, you know, I'm not a fanatic in terms of, you know, just how I approach things, because there's so many people that need help that aren't even anywhere near on the right track yet, you know, and that's kind of what I'm going after.
Well, keep doing that, and I'll keep working on making the big food companies make the good stuff. And I know you've got a line of spices that are high quality that you've come out with. I mean, you wrote your book, Food for Life, and you're really getting it out there. And bottom line is, if anyone listening to this is going to live to 100 plus, you want everyone around you at all levels to also be healthy. Like that's a requirement for having a healthy planet and just having healthy society. So the work you're doing is meaningful and valuable, and I thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you, and keep doing the work that you're doing. I'm going to keep supporting you because I love your brand. So thank you.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, Dave.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.